17, 1 Kings, chapter number 17. And I've been on this since last Sunday. And man, I got like 10 messages. I may preach all 10 this morning, all right? I just want to tell you, because my mind's everywhere on this thing. But God sure has it. It's not fixed. So I'm going to get back up on the platform. But 1 Kings chapter number 17, find that in your Bible. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. And I needed glasses anyhow. So this getting old stuff, it ain't cool. Can I get a witness? All right, 1 Kings chapter number 17, we'll begin our reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." I want you to, we're going to move on and we're going to read on through the scripture, but let's not just discount the first verse. God is introducing us to the prophet Elijah, and he's doing so in a time when the world, or at this time Israel and the northern kingdom at this time, is under the rule of a king by the name of Ahab, one of the most wicked kings that ever was, ruler over Israel. And here he is. He has already, because of his wife, how many of y'all heard of Jezebel? Amen. I need some women. Don't even act like y'all don't know what Jezebel is. I need somebody. How many of you women have called somebody a Jezebel before? Don't lie. I got two women that raised their hands. Y'all bunch of lying. Every last one of you need to be on the altar right now. They starting to get honest all through the building, all right? But Jezebel, we know about Jezebel. And Jezebel, she was as wicked as her husband was. Matter of fact, she was the one that was leading this whole thing, I believe, behind the scenes. But Jezebel and Ahab, because of Jezebel and where she was from, which, by the way, we'll see here in just a few moments. But because of where Jezebel was from, she brought in with her family Baal worship, B-A-A-L, Baal, or however you want to say it. I ain't going to try to pronounce it because I'm not really good at English. Can I get a witness? Much less trying to decipher what the Hebrew word might mean, all right? But as we look at this, I want you to understand how Israel is and the state, the condition that Israel is in at this time. They are apostate. In other words, they have walked away from God. They have left God, and now they are serving other gods, little g's, and one of those happened to be Baal. As Ahab and his wife Jezebel, as they get more enthroned with power, they're bringing in this worship of Baal. Now, for most of us, we don't even understand this, but when you look back and you study the god of Baal, who they were worshiping, he was the god of the sky. In other words, this was a god that they believed controlled the sun, the rain, and everything that was. How about this? Is everybody all right? You remember in Exodus, there was 10 plagues. All 10 of those plagues was against a god that Egypt worshiped. And God continues this thought with Baal. How does he do that? The Bible says in verse number 1 that he brings Elijah, and Elijah tells Ahab that there will not be any more rain for a set time. In other words, here's what Elijah said. He says, but according to my word. All right, now I'm going to deal with that here in a little bit, so keep that in your thought, keep that in your mind, and let's move on to verse number 2. And the Bible says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. Everybody say it with me. There. And boy, what a wonderful lesson or preaching that we had last Sunday on there. All right. And being there. And you'll miss the will of God if you're not. All right. Praise the Lord. So here God sends Elijah to a brook called Cherith. And he tells Elijah, he gives Elijah a promise that he has commanded ravens to feed him at this brook. He's to drink of this brook, and he has commanded, already commanded, ravens to feed him there at this brook. Verse number 5, the Bible tells us, so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth. Does everybody catch that? As the Lord thy God, she recognized there was something different about him. She recognized, first off, he was an Israelite. And she said, the Lord thy God, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son. Look at this, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me. And after, make for thee and for thy son. I can imagine what she was thinking right here. Can I get a witness? Amen. I know what you would have said. Amen. I know what I would have said. Amen. I need somebody to help me. But this widow woman, she went and did what God had instructed her through the prophet Elijah. I want you to look. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. A promise from God. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Now we're going to read a few more verses. Hang with me, all right? And she said unto Elijah, and it came to pass, rather, after these sayings, that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? In other words, what have you done? Does everybody get this? Stay with me. All of a sudden, this woman, she has been sustained by Elijah for well over a year. Every time she's walked out, there was meal in the barrel. There was oil in the cruse. Is everybody with me? But something bad came in her life, and the first person that she lashed out at was Elijah. The reason she was alive, I need somebody, this ain't even what I was going to preach. Is everybody all right? The whole reason the woman was alive and the child was alive, you'll remember, we go back to the beginning of it, she was making her last meal, Brother Johnny. That's right. This was her last meal. Her and her son was going to die. Here we are a year later. God has sustained her through the prophet Elijah. But when bad times come in her life, the first person that she lashes out at is the very one that has gotten her to where she's at right now. Bible says, art thou coming to me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? In other words, hey, can y'all hear it? Let's go back. Let's go back into Exodus when Moses is delivering the children of Israel and they're saying, have you brought us into this wilderness so that we can die? Were there no graves in Egypt? Can y'all hear it? Amen. Y'all hear the same kind of attitude, the same kind of thought? Here she says, have you come to bring my sin into remembrance and to kill my son, to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom, and carried him into the loft where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? Elijah wasn't even real sure about what was going on. I need somebody to help me. Boy, we taught to have faith, and we do have faith, but how many times have we questioned God? Here's the man of God, Elijah. I mean, one of the most statues. I mean, just one of the greatest men of the Bible. And here he is. God, what are you doing? What's going on here? The Bible says, and he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come unto him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. I bet she wanted to hit him. All right. Now, the Bible says, and the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Amen. Boy, what an introduction to Elijah. And this ain't even all of it. We see this was our introduction to Elijah, but God had greater plans for Elijah. He had greater things for Elijah. He had things that no other had done. Matter of fact, when you go over to Israel, if you've gone with us, we go to the site that's believed to be, or that's designated anyhow by them over there, as a place that Elijah stood and called down fire from heaven. There at Mount Carmel. Is everybody all right? I mean, we've seen him do a lot of things. We've seen him kill prophets. Can I get a witness as we read on? We see him kill prophets. He killed 450 prophets of Baal. We've seen him call fire down from heaven. We've seen Elijah do some great things. But none of it would have happened without chapter number 17. We don't know a whole lot about his background. He burst onto the scene, and he stands in front of Ahab, one of the most wicked men in the world, and he stands before him and he says, it's not going to rain again until I say so. Amen. Is everybody all right? Man, this thing caught me, and I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, and I might be, and y'all can correct me later, but anyhow, in the very first verse, Miss Carrie, go back to the very first verse. In the very first verse, it's almost as if Elijah is saying, I'm the one that's going to determine this. Stay with me. God is doing some great things through Elijah. We know that Elijah is a great man. We've seen Elijah in Scripture. We see him stand on the mountainside. We see the wind. We see the fire. We see the earthquake. We see all of these things that come. But the Bible says it was a still small voice. Over and over again, God had to get the attention of this prophet. Because God is doing such great things to him. I need somebody to hear me right here. I don't know who I'm speaking to. I don't know if you're even getting any of this, but he was doing such great things that all Elijah was concerned about was the grandeur of everything. Amen. So Elijah burst on the scene. He stands in front of Ahab and he says, there ain't going to be any more rain for a span of time, whatever that was. Jesus tells us it was 3.5 years. And that's in Luke chapter number 4. But as we look at this morning, I want us to look at God was preparing Elijah for a work in chapter number 17. I believe there were some stages that Elijah went through in chapter number 17 that apply to us all. If God is going to do something through our life, he's going to have to take us through some different stages. Is everybody with me? Let's look at those this morning just real quickly if we can. But I want you to notice, first of all, a drying brook. A drying brook. If you're taking notes, number one is a drying brook. God takes us through the stage of a drying brook. The Bible tells us that he burst onto the scene. He says there's not going to be any rain. And the second verse right after that, the third verse, I guess it is, God said, I want you to go to the brook Cherith. I want you to hide there. Now, this is not what any man wants to do. I need somebody to help me. This is a powerful man that stood before the king of Israel. The last thing he wants to do is take off and go run and hide somewhere. But God sent him, the Bible says, to a brook that was called Cherith. Now, in the root word of this, it means a literal cutting away. Is everybody all right? Matter of fact, have you ever heard me teach on covenants? The word covenant there, we derive it from two Hebrew words, karat berith, which means to cut a covenant. All right? This word Cherith has its meaning close to that, as it is a cutting away. In other words, it is a pulling out, or a cutting away, or a purging, if you will. See, God, before you, God can use you, he has to send you to a place and cut some things out of you. See, y'all ain't getting it, but I am, all right? Before he can do something with you, he has to get some of you out of you. See, in the very first verse, he said, there's not going to be any rain, but according to my word. How many of y'all caught that? It was God's word who was doing this. It was God who was behind the scene. It was God who would determine when the rain would come back. But in the very first verse, we see the arrogance of Elijah. And I'm not beating up Elijah because I think he's great. He's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. But he said, according to my word. And listen, God may have been using him as a mouthpiece, but you and I are not to take God's glory. He should have said, according to God's word, when God's ready. But Elijah is like many of us. He won't take a little bit of credit for himself. Is everybody all right? Ain't nothing like trying to prove to everybody that you're the man. And this is what Elijah was doing. And so God takes him to a drying brook. He takes him to a place of isolation. Isolation. He takes him there and he gets him all alone. But Elijah wasn't alone. Say, well, preacher, we know he wasn't alone because the ravens was coming there and feeding him. No, you're missing what I'm trying to say here. Elijah was not alone, and it wasn't because the ravens came there to feed him. It was because God was there with him. I need somebody to hear me this morning. You think that you can do it all yourself, but it has to be God. You have to learn how to cut some things out of your life and depend on God. Elijah had to get to that place. He had to get there. The Bible says God commanded the ravens to feed him there. Is anybody hearing me this morning? God was sending him to a place where he could not do anything for himself. Y'all ain't getting it. God sent him to a place, Brother Johnny, where he couldn't do anything for himself. He sent him to a place of hiding. He sent him to a brook. Cherith, to cut some things out of him.
That's right.
Hey, some of you in here, you want to be used by God. You want God to do some great things, and we're living in the same kind of world that Elijah was living in. A world that cuts God out of everything. A world that says there is no God. A world that says, let's worship these gods. Here's your gods. You can worship them. But don't you worship the true and living God. And what God needs this morning is some people like Elijah, whose name, by the way, means Yahweh is my God. I need some Christians in here that are willing to say, God, Yahweh is my God. The true living God. He is my God. Before we can get to that place, God's got to take us through a place of cutting, a place of isolation. And he's got to get some things out of us. We have to sit by a brook. No, I don't know how long. I don't know how long, but he sat by this brook until it dried up. Brother, he sat there and watched this brook dry.
That's right.
I need somebody to help me. Now, it was the prayers of Elijah that brought rain. But yet, he never prayed for rain when it was to his own detriment.
That's right. Come on.
He watched every day as that brook dried up. He watched every day as it got smaller and smaller. He watched every day knowing that sooner or later he wasn't going to be able to drink out of that brook. But he never left. Is everybody up?
Amen.
He never left. He never prayed, God send rain so I can stay here. He trusted God. Is everybody all right? He learned at a drying brook that even in isolation, he wasn't alone. God was there with him. Is everybody with me? I need somebody to help me right here. This world, our lives are full of distractions. Our lives are full of distractions. When was the last time you got alone with God? When was the last time you got alone with God? There's always one. I'd say she did it today. But let's be honest with it. Tomorrow, yesterday, how many of you spent more time with God than you did on your phone? We like to find the good in ourselves, but the truth is, there ain't no good in us. How many of you spent more time with God than you did on the phone or on the TV?
That's right. Come on.
God has to bring us to a place of isolation. He wants to use us. He wants to use you, but he has to bring you to that brook, that drying brook, and he's got to cut some things out of you.
Right.
Number two, I got to move quickly. Not only do we see a drying brook stage, but number two, we see a depleted barrel. He taught him isolation in the first one, but here he's going to teach him preservation. See, this depleted barrel, God, as soon as the Bible says, as soon as the brook dries up, God didn't send more rain just for Elijah. The drought was in effect. Y'all, is everybody getting this? The drought was in effect. The brook drying shows us the extremity of the drought. And God says, I want you to go to Zarephath in Zidon, which, by the way, was where Jezebel grew up.
Amen.
It was a Gentile nation. It was where her and her father, it was where they worshiped the god Baal. In other words, it was the hub of Baal worship. And the very man that God is using to eliminate Baal worship, God sends to the very hub of Baal worship. I need somebody to help me. You would have said, no, God, I'm good right here by the brook. I'll just die right here. They were after him. Remember, why did God send him there? What did God say? Get thee up and hide. Somebody help me. Hide. There by the brook. You know what that implies? Somebody was after him.
That's right.
For you Iowa people that don't know nothing, all right? Somebody was after him. That's why he was going to hide. That's it.
Amen.
Yeah, you don't just go hide. We ain't playing hide and seek.
That's right. Come on.
This wasn't a game. They were going to kill the man. And now God's telling him, all right, I want you to go from hiding. I want you to go right over there to his house.
That's right. Come on.
Whoa. I need somebody to help me.
That's right.
Y'all throw up the timeout. Hold on, Lord. Are you telling me that I have gone and sat by a brook for a year, had all these, God, I'm totally dependent on you, but now you're telling me to go into enemy territory?
That's right. Come on.
God said, yes. I've commanded a widow there.
That's right.
To feed you. Oh, I need somebody to help me. Elijah gets up. From best I could tell, Brother Johnny, it was 100 miles that he journeyed to get to this place. And as he come in the gate, guess who was waiting for him?
Amen.
The widow. Oh, she didn't know she was waiting for him. She didn't even know she was a part of this plan. I need somebody to help me. See, she wasn't an Israelite. She had no religious privileges to knowing the God of Israel, although she did know him through Elijah. I need somebody to help me right here. When Elijah showed up, she wasn't expecting God to fix her problems. Matter of fact, she told Elijah, I'm going to make some food and we're going to die. We're going to eat our last meal and we're going to die. And Elijah, of course, we see he tells her first off to go get some water. Now, this might not mean anything to you, but listen, there was a drought.
That's right.
The brook had dried up. There was a drought. And I don't know where this woman was getting her water from, but apparently there was plenty of water because she went to get him some water.
Amen.
And the Bible says that as she went, he said, make me a cake. Make me one first. I need somebody to help me right here. I can imagine she might have let one slip. Is everybody all right? Who does he think he is?
Amen.
She may have. But this was another stage in Elijah's life. God was preparing him for Mount Carmel. And it was a stage of preservation. God could sustain him.
Amen.
Is everybody with me? He learned in the drying brook that there were some things that needed to be cut out of him. There were some things God needed to isolate him from and be alone with him. But here he learns that God can take care of him in the enemy's backyard. Here he learns that God can sustain him when it looks like death is certain. There's so many of us today that we trust God as long as our bank account's full. I'm having fun. We trust God as long as our circumstances are going the way that we think they ought to go. We trust God as long as everything in our life is progressing the way we planned it. Come on. Tell me I ain't right. As long as God's following our plan, as long as he's doing what we want done, oh, I trust you. But what about when God sends you to a place you don't want to go? What about when God takes you into a situation where the outcome doesn't look so great? But Elijah, in this depleted barrel stage, learned that God is enough. Brother Brent, he made the comment when he got on this. I'd mentioned it or whatever, and Brother Brent got on it. And he made the comment that every time that she went to that barrel was full. I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think there was ever a time, Brother Johnny, in the 2-3 years, whatever it was, that Elijah was there with that widow. I don't think there was ever a time that barrel was full. But what I do know is this, every time she went to that barrel, there was enough. I need somebody to help me. Matter of fact, I don't know if it was Spurgeon or one of the others said that in a time of drought, in a time of famine, men's senses are heightened to the point that they would have smelled food and they would have robbed them blind, but God gave them just enough. I need somebody to help me. There's too many of us that's wanting, we wanting abundance instead of just enough. God has something for you, and you got to learn that God is enough. Whether the bank account is abundant, God is enough. Whether everything in your life is going crazy, God is enough. Even if it's not going as you planned, God is enough. And this was a stage that Elijah had to learn in his life. And many Christians still need to learn today. God is enough. God's enough. God's enough. Lastly, not only see a drying brook stage and we see a depleted barrel stage, but we see a dying boy stage. Say, preacher, this one don't make sense. It didn't to Elijah either.
Amen.
Preacher, that don't make sense. It didn't to Elijah either. Elijah said, why did you bring me? Did you bring me to stay with this woman just so you could kill this boy?
That's right.
She didn't understand it. She said, are you bringing my sin to remembrance and come here to slay my son?
Amen.
What have I done to you? I need somebody to help me.
That's right.
Is what she was saying. What have I done to you? Did I ask for this? Did I ask for this in my life? You ever been there? You ever been there? What did I do? Why didn't I ask for this? And she held that dead boy, accused that prophet. God brought him to his last stage, and that is a stage of restoration. There was a stage of isolation, of preservation, and there's a stage of restoration. Elijah, listen to me. The whole purpose. Why do you think God sent Elijah to Zarephath? We get there and we look at it and say, well, preacher, you said it was so he could prepare him, and it was. But I want you to notice something this morning. There was somebody there that needed Elijah.
Amen.
Go ahead, Brother Matt. There was somebody there that needed Elijah. There's somebody that needs you. They don't know it yet. At this point in their life, it does look bleak, but it's not as bad as it's going to be.
Amen.
She thought they were out of food, but she was facing a bigger problem she knew nothing about. I need somebody to hear me right here. See, we get too hooked up and too focused on the here and now. We say, well, he sent her there to feed her. He sent Elijah there to feed her, but there was a bigger problem on down the road. That was just a small portion. He was teaching Elijah that now you are to help others.
That's right.
See, God didn't bring you to this point just so you can sit down and not do anything. God brought you here because there's somebody else that needs you.
That's right. Come on.
Elijah had to get the focus off of him. Remember at the beginning, it ain't going to happen until I say so.
That's right.
God said, we got to fix that.
Amen.
We got to fix that. Because it ain't got nothing to do with what you. Ain't got nothing to do with you. So God took him to a place and started cutting some things out of him.
Amen.
And there's many of us that are in that stage. There's many of us that have been through that stage. I need somebody to help me. Let's be honest about it. There's some of us still going through it.
That's right.
I need, come on, y'all better wake up this morning. There's some of us that God still got some cutting to do in our lives.
Right.
We're not who we used to be.
That's right.
But we're not who we want to be either. Not who God wants us to be. So there's some brooks ahead of us, some drying brooks. We're going to have to sit there and we're going to have to watch some relationships dry up. Because God needs to cut them out of us.
Amen.
We're going to have to watch some attitudes dry up.
Amen.
We're going to have to watch some dependence, some things that you and I think we can do it all on our own. God's going to have to dry them up in your life. I need somebody to hear me right here. Might be your finances. Let's just be honest. That's one of those things we put before God all the time. I'm not telling you quit your job, but you better be careful how you deal with your finances because God will take them away from you. Cut them out to show you he's enough. Take you to a place in the middle of the enemy. God preserves you, takes care of you. Why? He cut all those things out of you. He preserves you. He keeps you. He sustains you. Why? So you can help somebody else.
That's right.
Her greatest need, she'd face later as she held on to a dying boy. Everybody with me? She was a widow. Her husband was gone. Nobody to provide for. Nobody to provide for. Obviously, she didn't have nobody in her life to marry. She was doomed. One last meal wasn't the worst thing that would happen to her. That boy, by tradition, he would have grown up to take care of his mama. Now he's dead. No husband. No boy. Nobody to sustain her. As she got older, life would be nothing more than a struggle. More and more. No income provided. Nobody to watch after her. Nobody to take care of her. Jesus said it like this. Back in Elijah's day, there was many widows.
That's right.
in Israel.
Amen.
But God sent Elijah to a widow in Gentile territory.
Amen.
Of all the widows in Israel, Elijah could have went to. God sent him to one in a Gentile nation.
Amen.
To take care of this woman. Stay with me. God wants to use you this morning. He wants to use you greatly.
Right.
But you need to understand that your ultimate purpose is a purpose of restoration.
Amen. Right.
Life isn't about you. It's about helping others. And they somebody that's holding on to something they love dearly. They're going to have to watch it as it takes its last breath. And God wants to use you to bring life back to that dream that they've watched die. I need somebody to help
Amen.
Me. This world ain't going to help them.
That's right. Come on.
It's me and you. What stage are you in? Say, preacher, I'm in a drying book stage. I'm that God's seems to be cutting some things out of my life left and right. Don't run nowhere. God's commanded the ravens to feed thee.
There.
None of that caught God by surprise.
Amen.
Say, preacher, I'm in that depleted barrel stage. I started to name this thing Running on Empty. I got all kind of sermons, y'all. I ain't lying. Running on empty. Preacher, it seems like I'm down to my last handful of hope. Hey, God walked Elijah through that gate at the exact right time.
Amen.
God's got somebody he's going to bring into your life. This was another sermon I was going to preach. God's got somebody he's going to bring into your life at just the right time.
Amen. Come on.
Yeah, because you can't make it on your own.
Right.
Even though he has to take you to a place of isolation, you ain't going to make it on your own. God's got to cut the wrong people out so he can put the right people in.
Amen.
I'm having fun. That's sermon number 6. Yeah. But your ultimate purpose as a Christian, as somebody that trusts God, as somebody that knows God, is to bring restoration and hope to somebody else. I wonder how many of you get around the altar this morning. Realize your purpose. Realize what stage you're in. But realize your purpose. You ain't in this for you. It's not about you. It never was about you. Elijah tried to make it about him. Ain't going to happen until I say so. God said, hold on, boy. It ain't going to happen until I say so. I just want to use you, but if you're not going to allow it, if you're not going to allow God to put you through these stages, you ain't going to. God, you're no use to God. How many of you know it? Heads bowed with me. How many of you know? Preacher, I'm in a place of isolation. I'm at that drying brook. Know this, you ain't alone. Say, but it's a place of isolation. But when you're alone, God, there's never a time you're alone. But God's trying to get your mind and your everything off, your focus off of everything else in this world and get it on Him. Maybe in a depleted barrel. Say, preacher, you don't know what's going on in my life, but we're struggling just day by day. God's preparing you. God's showing you he's enough. You believe him this morning. Maybe you say, preacher, I've been through these stages. What's now? What do I do now? It's time for your life to matter. Not just for you, but for others. Hey, somebody you're going to come in contact with tomorrow that needs to know God is enough. They need to know that God will never leave them nor forsake them. Even when they're alone, God's with them. They need to know. God's going to use you in a place of restoration. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you this morning, I thank you. Lord, for the life of Elijah. What a powerful man. A man that was used greatly by you. A man who was like us, according to the book of James. A man whose prayers were answered. Lord, as he laid on this boy and he asked you to revive him, he had no precedent. He couldn't look back and say, but you'd revive this one or you resurrected that one. But God, he'd learned that you are enough. He'd learned, God, you're able. So God, he prayed, he called out, and he asked a thought that was a hard thing. God, you answered his prayers. Used him to restore life to this boy, to restore life to this widow, to prove that you are who you said you are. Lord, I pray that you'd use us. We live in an apostate world. A world with kings running around. Oh, they don't wear a crown. But they think they got this whole world figured out. God, may you raise up some Christians that will say, the living God is my God. Jesus is my God. May you raise up some individuals, some Elijahs in our church. Lord, we know you had to put us through a brook, a drying brook stage. We have to watch things leave our life. We have to watch you cut things out of our life. God, we know that there's a depleted barrel stage, Lord, where we're going to have to learn to put all of our trust and faith in you and believe that every time we walk out to the barrel, there's going to be just enough. Lord, ultimately, that dead boy is going to bring us to a stage of restoration. God, where you use us to speak life into somebody else, to give them hope, to help them. Because God, it's not all about us. It's about us being your hands, your feet, your mouth, your ears, your eyes, the body of Christ working together to bring restoration and reconciliation. God, I love you this morning. Heads bowed with me. If you're in here this morning, you be honest with this preacher. Say, preacher, if I was to die sitting right where I'm sitting at right now, preacher, I do not know that I would go to heaven. How about if I said it this way? Preacher, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. That's you this morning. I want you to do me a favor and lift your hand up just where I can see it, and you can put it back down. Is there anybody like that? Be honest with me this morning before we close the service. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Anybody else? Anywhere in the building? I wonder this morning if you let us help you get this thing settled today. If you do that, I see your hand. You can put it down. If you want to get this thing settled today, I wonder if you'd get up out of your seat, come right to where I'm at. I'm going to walk down on the floor. I'm going to give you that opportunity. I want you to know I did the same thing. Why don't you let us take a Bible and talk to you this morning? I'm right here in front. Why don't you just come on down? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. Lord, I sure am thankful for today's services. Lord, I pray that you bless the 11 o'clock hour. Be with this one, Lord, that's unsure, uncertain. God, I pray today, put the right people in their life. Lord, that they can get assurance. Lord, that they can find out, Lord, how they too can be saved. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.